Hi everybody, today we're continuing on in the book of Judges. This is Judges chapter 11, verses 29 through 40. We're continuing through the story of this judge, Jephthah. If you haven't, if this is your first time tuning in this week, I want to encourage you to listen or at least read through yesterday's passage, which was the beginning of chapter 11. But today again is Judges chapter 11. We're going to be looking at verses 29 through 40. Let me read this for us. Then the Spirit of the Lord was upon Jephthah, and he passed through Gilead and Manasseh, and passed on to Mizpah of Gilead. And from Mizpah of Gilead he passed on to the Ammonites. And Jephthah made a vow to the Lord and said, "If you will give the Ammonites into my hand, then whatever comes out from the doors of my house to meet me when I return in peace from the Ammonites shall be the Lord's, and I will offer it. I will offer it up for a burnt offering." So Jephthah crossed over to the Ammonites to fight against them. And the Lord gave them into his hand. And he struck them from Aroer to the neighborhood of Minith, 20 cities, and as far as Abel Karamim, with a great blow. So the Ammonites were subdued before the people of Israel. Then Jephthah came to his home at Mizpah, and behold, his daughter came out to meet him with tambourines and with dances. She was his only child. Besides her, he had neither son nor daughter. And as soon as he saw her, he tore his clothes and said, "Alas, my daughter, you have brought me very low, and you have become the cause of a great trouble to me. For I have opened my mouth to the Lord, and I cannot take back my vow." And she said to him, "My father, you have opened your mouth to the Lord. Do to me according to what has gone out of your mouth, now that the Lord has avenged you on your enemies, on the Ammonites." So she said to her father, "Let this thing be done for me. Leave me alone 2 months, that I may go up and down on the mountains and weep for my virginity, I and my companions." So he said, "Go." Then he sent her away for 2 months, and she departed, she and her companions, and wept for her virginity on the mountains. And at the end of 2 months she returned to her father, who did with her according to his vow that he had made. She had never known a man, and it became a custom in Israel that the daughters of Israel went year by year to lament the daughter of Jephthah the Gilead 4 days in the year. All right. We were introduced to this man Jephthah in yesterday's passage, and today we see that Jephthah steps up to be the leader of Israel as they prepare to fight against the Ammonites. And in our passage today, we read at the beginning that the Spirit of the Lord is upon Jephthah, and long story short, he defeats the Ammonites. Victory belongs to Israel. This is meant to be an exciting, positive thing. Unlike many of the other passages and Judges, though, that describe the battle scenes in far more vivid and sometimes even very graphic detail, the writer of the book only devotes a few sentences to the battle. Rather, instead of turning our attention to the battle and all the specifics of this victory, we see that the intention is mainly on a vow that Jephthah makes prior to the battle against the Ammonites. Before going into battle, it says in verse 30 that Jephthah made a vow to the Lord, essentially saying that if God delivers the Ammonites into his hands, he will take the first thing that comes out of his house and offer it as a burnt sacrifice. Tragically, we find out that upon returning home after the victory, the first thing that comes out of his home is his daughter, who turns out also to be his one and only child. Now, this is obviously a very tragic thing, but there may be something that some of us are uncertain about, and that's when it comes to vows. For most of us, the idea of making vows is probably quite foreign, at least that's my guess. My guess is that the only thing you might be able to think of when it comes to vows is wedding vows, and even then, you might not really have a good understanding of what that even is. So what is a vow? Well, simply put, a vow is a solemn oath or promise, and as Christians, we believe that vows are made in the presence of God. They're not just empty things that we just kind of say, but they are meaningful. They carry a lot of weight, because to break a vow, well, when you make a vow, it's made before other people, but more importantly, in a lot of ways, they're made before God, and so therefore, to break a vow or fail to uphold it would not only mean to break a promise made with somebody else, but a promise that had been made before God, with God as a witness. Now, so knowing this, I think we can see two reasons why Jephthah's vow is foolish. First, and I think more obvious, his words were just straight up reckless. There was absolutely no way for Jephthah to know what would exit his home upon his arrival. could have been an animal of some sort. And sure, that animal then could have been offered to the Lord, probably as Jephthah intended. But it could have also been a human being, ranging from his wife to his servants, or in this case here, his daughter. Now, of course, you could give Jephthah some respect here for being a man of his word and keeping this vow, but there is no denying that regardless of whether he chose to keep it or not, that this vow itself was foolish. He made this grand and dramatic statement, sure, but it was also reckless and one that ultimately led to a tragic outcome. So that's one reason why this vow is foolish. But second, and maybe slightly less obvious than the first reason, Jephthah's vow was foolish because he essentially was trying to bargain with God. Let's read his vow once again in verse 30. He says, if, this is speaking to God, if you will give the Ammonites into my hand, then whatever comes out from the doors of my house to meet me when I return in peace from the Ammonites shall be the Lord's, and I will offer it up for a burnt offering. You see, Jephthah is trying to bargain with God. He's saying, God, if you give me this victory, then I will do this big, grand thing for you. In other words, in some ways, it's as if Jephthah is trying to control God, to persuade God into giving the Ammonites into his hands. And of course, we know that that's foolish. First, God had already chosen Jephthah to lead and save his people. There was no need to try to convince God. There was no need to try to bargain. And of course, even if there was a need for whatever reason that might be, it's not like you could actually even try to control God in the first place. So this was really all around a foolish decision by Jephthah. And of course, we could always read a story like this and think to ourselves, come on, Jephthah, what were you thinking? How could you do such a foolish thing? But before you get to that point, or hopefully you're not already there, take a moment to assess your own life. Have you ever made such rash statements or vows? Or have you ever tried to bargain with God like this? Maybe things don't immediately come to mind, but how about these for a few examples? Have you ever thought something like, God, if I pass this exam, I promise I'll never miss another week of family group ever again. Or God, if you just let this girl or guy like me back, I promise as a couple we will serve you together faithfully. Or God, just please let me get through this rough season. And after that, I promise I'll work on becoming a more generous person. Maybe some of those statements are familiar to some of us. Maybe some of us have made such statements or some variation of that at some point in our lives. But you see, when we do this kind of thing, whether it's said aloud or just in our hearts, we're making this vow. We're trying to bargain with God as if we can control him or curry favor through our deeds. On top of that, we often forget that we even made those promises. And a lot of times, even after God might provide in some way, we continue just to live life the way we have before, the way that we want. You see, the tragic story of Jephthah teaches us the importance of not making such rash vows. It's as it says in Ecclesiastes chapter 5, guard your steps when you go to the house of God. To draw near to listen is better than to offer a sacrifice of fools, for they do not know what they are doing. For they do not know that they are doing evil. Be not rash with your mouth, nor let your heart be hasty to utter a word before God. You see, our walk with the Lord isn't based on bold, yet barely thought out statements. You know, sometimes it might come from maybe a place of good intention. We want to offer our lives in a certain way or make some kind of grand gesture to show how much we love the Lord. Our walk with him ultimately is not based on those types of things, especially if they're not really thought out and there's hasty statements. Rather, our walk with the Lord, the relationship that we have with him is built on this steady foundation of continually abiding in and trusting in God. And so my encouragement for us today as we continue to reflect on this passage is, you know, how are we living our lives? Even in our interactions with others, what are we doing in terms of our words? In terms of the promises and vows that we're making. Let's be mindful of these things. Let's consider the words that we say. Let's also be wary of making vows in any context, especially anything like this. Let's live our lives where we are instead walking and abiding in the Lord and and may our actions be show our trustworthiness. And so with that, let me pray for us to close. Lord God, as we read the story of Jephthah, this is a really just unfortunate, tragic tale here. And Father, help us to be a people who are wise in terms of what we say, the things that we might promise. Help us to be ultimately, to do so in a way that honors you. God, we want to be a people who don't need to prove ourselves through grand gestures or don't try to control you, but rather, Lord, we want to submit to you, continually abide in you, and show, Lord, our commitment to you in that kind of way. And so, Father, we thank you for this time. Holy Spirit, won't you continue to convict our hearts? I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.